الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد النبي المجاهد الشهيد وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين ساروا سيره وجاهدوا في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاهم اليقين أما بعد. Both the armies had camped at Yarmouk. Hiraqal, the Roman emperor, had given instructions to the leader of the army that he should camp in a spacious place with a narrow exit to make it difficult for the army to escape and to flee from the battlefield. Hence, they camped at the bank of the river, and there was a very deep canyon or gorge that was there which would prevent them from escaping from the battlefield, and there was just one exit. The Muslim army moved from where they were camping initially to come in line with the Roman army. And when they came in line with the Roman army, it happened that they camped near that exit, which meant that if the Roman army wanted to flee, they had to pass the Muslim army. When Sayyidina Amr bin As radiallahu an saw this, he mentioned, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَبْشِرُوا حُسِرَتْ وَاللَّهِ الرُّومِ وَقَلَّمَا جَاءَ مَحْصُورٌ بِخَيْرٍ. He says, O people, glad tidings. By Allah, the Roman army has been besieged. They have been surrounded. They cannot leave from here. And very seldom a people that have been surrounded can do any good. Meaning generally, in military, when an army is surrounded and they besieged, then they generally are defeated. The Muslims were approximately 36,000 in number. There's varying figures. However, 36,000 seems to be the more reliable view. Among them were 1,000 Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And from these 1,000 Sahaba radiallahu anhum, plus minus 100 were the very elite Sahaba who had participated in Badr. So from the 313 Badri Sahaba, approximately 100 of those Sahaba were there, part of this army. So very senior Sahaba radiallahu anhum were part of this army. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, as we explained, he had asked permission from Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu to be appointed as the commander of this army. So he began to arrange the army, although the encounter wasn't very soon, or it wasn't happening immediately. But Khalid radiallahu anhu began arranging the army. In the event of an encounter, the arrangements would already be made. But his respect and adab for Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was that he made mashura with him regarding the arrangement of the army. So he would ask Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu that normally who would you appoint on the right wing, who would you appoint on the left wing, and then Khalid radiallahu anhu would be happy with the suggestion of Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, and then he would ask Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu to give the instruction. We had discussed previously about his dismissal. And we mentioned that Khalid radiallahu anhu was not upset about his dismissal. Rather, he still fought with that kind of spirit. The fact that he requested to be made the commander of the army, and then he did all the arrangements, it is a clear proof that Khalid radiallahu anhu didn't have any ill feelings in his heart. Otherwise, in such a situation, then what would normally happen is the person that is dismissed will say, let's see the new person what he can do. And he won't want to share any of his experience whatsoever. And he will be waiting for his failure. But Khalid radiallahu anhu, he was fully involved, and he still kept the respect of Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu, since now he was the current commander-in-chief of the army. Up till this point, all the Muslim armies would fight separately. Meaning, although they would fight together in a battle, but they would have the four armies that they were dispatched. As they were dispatched from Madinah Munawwara, they would keep together. The four armies would keep together, each one would keep together, and they would fight together, generally. So Khalid radiallahu anhu felt that this was not good for such a huge enemy that they were facing. And he encouraged the soldiers, he encouraged the Muslims, that now we need to merge. All these four armies or five armies that they were, because of the army of Khalid radiallahu anhu as well, we all need to become one big army. And we fight together. And then he even encouraged them, explaining to them that there is no disgrace if one brother has to command over another brother. Now that we are coming under the command of someone else, there's no disgrace in this. Previously, a lot of those armies were such that it was families that were together. Families were sent out together in one army. So now they would possibly be integrating with others and they would possibly be separated. So Khalid radiallahu anhu encouraged them, explaining to them the importance of ikhlas, etc. And Khalid radiallahu anhu now integrated the entire army. Another very amazing coincidence was in the recent battle in Syria. A similar situation had taken place. There were different factions. From the beginning of the revolution, the beginning of the uprising, there were different factions. And at the end, all the different factions came together. And they fought as one united force. So nevertheless, Khalid radiallahu anhu now united all these different armies. And then Khalid radiallahu anhu came up with a very unique military formation. Normally they would fight in rows. That was the normal style. But Khalid radiallahu anhu for this battle, because of the size of the enemy that they were facing, came up with a very unique formation where he distributed them into approximately 36 to 40 battalions or platoons. And then he divided these battalions, appointing commanders on each of these battalions. Then he appointed them, or he divided them to the right wing, to the left wing, to the center. So they would have these battalions and they would be together in these battalions. It would not be one long row as would be the normal formation. And when the enemy saw this, it caught them by surprise. Because they were not prepared for this. They never expected this kind of a formation. Khalid radiallahu anhu appointed Abu Darda radiallahu anhu as the qadi, as the judge. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, his responsibility was to encourage the Muslims. This is a very important aspect as well, to give targhib, to encourage them before the battle. And the same happened in the recent war in Syria. There were people specially appointed for this. They have a proper system in terms of ulama that encourage them, give them dini training before the war. 10 days of only a'mal, 10 days of encouragement, so that a person is yearning for akhirat. He's prepared, he's yearning for shahadat. He's prepared to give his life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, this was his responsibility during this war. And Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was appointed as in charge of the booty. Miqdad bin Aswad radiallahu anhu, like all great sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Miqdad bin Aswad radiallahu anhu was appointed as the qari. So they had a system that before the battle, then they would recite. And this came from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time. They would recite Surah Anfal and Suratul Qital or Surah Muhammad. They would recite these surahs before the battle. So Miqdad bin Aswad radiallahu anhu was appointed to that position. After the arrangements were made, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu now gathered the horsemen. And he made 4 groups of these horsemen, appointing very brave horsemen on each of these groups. He himself leading one of them. And now he takes these horsemen towards the main Roman army, where Bahan, the leader, was. He goes in that direction. The reason that Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu did this was that the Romans began to feel that the Muslims were not interested in fighting. Because of them retreating, as we explained, they withdrew from various towns. So because of that, psychologically now, the Romans felt that these people are not prepared to fight and they're not interested in fighting. Khalid radiallahu anhu wanted to change this perception of theirs, to show them that we still are brave. And we're still ready to fight. We're still ready to give our lives. So he goes with these horsemen towards this main Roman army where the leader was. The Romans were very shocked to see these horsemen coming because of their preconceived notion that they are not going to engage in any encounter. So they were shocked to see them. And they very quickly had to arrange themselves in 20 very, very long rows. 20 long rows they arranged themselves in. And then they sent their horsemen forward. Those horsemen were many times more than the Muslim horsemen. When those horsemen came front, one of them came and he asked for a duel. He requested a duel. It was something common in the wars of the past that they would start off with a duel. So Khalid radiallahu anhu says to his horsemen that who is ready to fight against him, or should I go personally? So first one person volunteered, Khalid radiallahu anhu felt he wasn't experienced enough. Another volunteered, Khalid radiallahu anhu felt he was still young. And like that there was a third one, and Khalid radiallahu anhu also felt some negative about it. So the famous warrior of the pre-Islamic era, Qais bin Hubeirah, whose name has been appearing quite often, he says to Khalid radiallahu anhu, it seems like you want me to go fund. So Khalid radiallahu anhu says, yes, I want you to go. Qais bin Hubeirah goes front. That Roman dismounts from his horse. Qais, rahimahullah, strikes him. One strike on his head. That went, that cut through his helmet and split his head in two. And this person fell down next to his horse dead. The Muslims screamed takbir. And then Khalid radiallahu anhu instructed them to attack. And the small group of Muslim horsemen attacked these Roman horsemen, and they pushed them back. And thereafter, Khalid radiallahu anhu did not continue with the attack. Rather, he returned back to the Muslim army. The Romans began to reproach each other. They say that there were so few horsemen that had come, and you were so many in number, yet they still push your horsemen back. So they decide that we need to send out battalions towards the enemy. And they began to send out battalion after battalion towards the Muslim army. They filled the entire area. It was like a flood that had come. And they came very close to the Muslim army. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu remained firm. No one spoke. They engaged in dhikr and dua and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala filled the hearts of the enemy with rob, with fear and awe, and they returned back to their camps. The Roman leaders had a meeting. Bahan, who was their leader, he says to them that these people that have come, they have come and now they have become accustomed to the luxuries of our land. They came from very backward civilizations. They came from very difficult situations. Now they have come and they have become accustomed to our luxury. They will not be prepared to give up these luxuries, and they will be prepared to give their life for the sake of these luxuries. So my suggestion is that I should call a person of understanding from their side, and I should negotiate with them. I should offer them that we will give them something of dunya, some type of wealth we would give them, and this might cause them to return, and it will save us from the danger of a battle. Because if we have to engage in a battle, then it is 50-50, either we can lose or we can be victorious. So they all agreed. And they sent a person whose names in the books of history appears as Jarja. Although some historians, some latter-day historians say that it's possible that his name was George. And Jarja was the Arabic version of George. So they sent him to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, and he requests Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu that send to us the one who was commanding the armies before you. Meaning Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, send him to us. Because we have heard that he's a person of understanding and a person of high lineage. And generally a person of high lineage has good understanding as well. So we want to negotiate with him. So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu called Khalid radiallahu anhu, and he advised him that go to them. And the same three options that we have, which this was the standard teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the three options, present those three options to them. It was the time of sunset when Jarja had come. And thereafter, after sunset, Sahaba radiallahu anhum started to perform the Maghrib Salah. This sight of Sahaba radiallahu anhum performing the Maghrib Salah, engaging in dua, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it caught the attraction of Jarja. And he was shocked, and he was just looking around, staring at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum in Salah, and in A'mal, in dua. Amr bin As radiallahu anhum says, the manner in which he was staring and he was looking, he says that seems like this person has got some mental problem. Therefore he is staring in this manner. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu says, no, I have hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is placing iman and deen in his heart. So after he sees this and he witnessed this, he begins to ask questions, inquires about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, specifically what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to say regarding Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, because they were Christians. So he inquired regarding that, and when the Sahaba radiallahu anhu explained to him the teachings of Islam and what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us regarding Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he says this is exactly what Isa alayhi salatu wasalam thought. And he says, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam also prophesies of a Nabi that was going to come. And it seems like that prophecy of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Then he says that call for me two old Muslims, those that accepted Islam in the beginning, and great Muslims, senior Sahaba, call them for me. So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu calls Sayyiduna Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu and Sayyiduna Sa'id bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, one from the Muhajireen and one from the Ansar. Sa'id bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, the brother-in-law of Umar radiallahu anhu, Ashara Mubashara, and from the early Sahaba who had accepted Islam in Makkah Mukarramah. And Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, from the forerunners who had accepted Islam in Madinah Munawwara. So he calls both of them, and then Jarja asks them, that do you guarantee me Jannah? Do you guarantee me Jannah if I have to accept Islam and I have to fight? He say, yes, if you do not change before you die, we guarantee you Jannah. And he accepted Islam at that time. Then they say to him that if you have to remain here, the Romans may feel that we have done something to you, we have killed you, or we have imprisoned you. So it would be better if you return. If you go back to the Roman army now, conceal your Islam, and then tomorrow you can come on your own. You come off your own tomorrow, then there won't be any suspicions and any allegations against us. So he agreed, he says, yes, it's a very good idea. And then the next day he came, and he fought very bravely in the battle, and he was made shaheed. This is one version regarding the incident of Jarja. There's another version which also appears in the books of history, which inshallah we will discuss later. The next day Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu goes over to the Roman army as they had requested. They prepared 10 rows of knights covered in full armor, from head to toe covered in steel. The only thing that could be seen of their body were their two eyes. That was the only thing that could be seen. Nothing else of their body could be seen. They arranged these 10 rows on either side, and behind them there were thousands of horsemen. All of this was done to impress Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. However, Khalid radiallahu anhu was not impressed in the least. It did not affect him. And that was because he had the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart. He had tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the multitudes of the enemy did not affect him. And this is a very important point, that when our yaqeen is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we won't be affected by the size of the enemy. We won't be affected by the so-called superpowers and by what they have and what they can do. Because at the end we understand that Allah is in control of everything. And whatever they have is 100% under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Hazrat Mufti Taqi Uthmani hafizahullah mentioned very beautifully in the beginning of the war, of the Gaza war, he mentioned that these people may be superpowers, but Allah is the supreme power. And this is where we have to keep our yaqeen on the supreme power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu came, there was a lengthy discussion that had taken place. The gist of the discussion was the same notion that the Romans had, that these people have come here because of dunya. Because they are suffering very difficult conditions back in Arabia. They have drought, they have famine, and now they have come here. So they have come for the sake of dunya. And they decided again to offer them dunya. That let us try and tempt them with some type of dunya. We will give you so much and we will allow you to leave. So he, in the same similar manner, he begins to offer, make this proposal to Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, that all this now that you are using now, these conveyances, these items and this wealth that you are using all belong to us. And we never expected the Arabs to come and fight against us. There were mighty armies that fought against us. The Persians fought against us. There were others that were much stronger than you all that fought against us. And we crushed all of them. And you are so weak and you have come to fight against us. So we rather offer you some type of dunya, help you in the financial problems that you are in, and you can go back to your land. So he goes on to say that whatever you have taken thus far in terms of wealth, you can take all of that. And if you want more, we will give 10,000 gold coins to your commander, 10,000 gold coins to you, and thereafter, every other leader, we will give him 1,000 gold coins, and every foot soldier, normal person, in your army, we will give him 100 gold coins, and you just promise us that you will not come back to our land, and we will allow you to go back to your land. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, after listening to all of this lengthy discussion, he begins to explain the condition pre-Islam, and how they were worshipping idols, etc., until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gave him a brief da'wat, and then he says to him that our Nabi came to us, and he instructed us that we should go to those that disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and present three options to them. The three options: either you accept Islam and you will become our brothers, otherwise you accept to pay jizya and you do not become an obstacle in the spread of deen, or thirdly, we will fight. So Bahan, the Roman leader, obviously looking at the size of his army and the strength that they assumed that they had, he says, with regards to changing our religion, which person changes his religion? Then with regards to paying jizya and taxes to you, he says, these people, they will be prepared to die, but they will not be prepared to pay jizya. So it's only the third option, and these multitudes that I have with me, these multitudes will decide with regards to the fate of either of the armies. Khalid radiallahu anhu very quickly goes back, and he gives a report to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, and he says that it seems like now the encounter is going to happen very soon, so we should prepare. During one of the days, Bahan came out, the leader came out with 20 rows. It was a cloudy day, and it was misty also. The Muslim commanders, they decided that we won't come out until they come right to our camp. If we are forced to fight, we will fight. The Romans came close, it began to rain, they continued with the advancing until the rain became very intense, and they were forced to retreat. The Muslims had spies among the Roman army. There were certain Arabs who were Christians previously, living in the Roman territory, living in Sham, and they had accepted Islam. So the Muslims used them as spies, that you remain among the Roman army and you give us information. So very early in the morning they come with the information, or it was midnight that they came with this information, that the Romans are preparing to attack early morning. So immediately the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, who were in charge of the army, they began to arrange the army until the time of Subah Sadiq. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu performed the Fajr Salah. In the first rakat he performed Surah Al-Fajr, and in the second rakat he performed Wash-Shams. In both these surahs, Allah speaks about how He destroyed previous nations. Although they were so mighty and they were so strong, they were destroyed. And this gave hope to the Muslims, that in a similar manner, this army that seems to be so mighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy them as well. After the Fajr Salah, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu turns towards the Muslims, and he addresses them and says, "Ayyuhan nas abshiru, O people, glad tidings. I saw a dream. In my dream, there were men that came to me and they surrounded me. I was wearing white clothing. And then I called some men from among you who I recognize. I recognize them, I call them. Oh, these people call them. And then they say to them that approach the enemy, advance towards the enemy and don't fear. فَإِنَّكُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ, because you will be victorious. And then in the dream we go to the enemy camp, and as soon as the enemy saw us, they split up and we enter into the enemy, and the enemy fled. The people, when they heard this, they say, هَذِهِ بُشْرَى مِنَ اللَّهِ, this is glad tidings from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given the glad tidings of victory. Another Muslim stands up and he says that I saw in my dream that our army has come out, and there were big white birds that appear in the sky. They had talons or claws like the paws of lions. And they would come down from the sky, and when they would come in line with any of the kafir, any of our enemy, they would give him one strike and he would fall down. And in the dream, the people felt that these are the malaika that have come to help us and assist us. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu says that this is also glad tidings from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَحَدِّثُوا بِهَذِهِ رُؤْيَا النَّاسِ, relate these dreams to the people. فَإِنَّ مِثْلَهَا مِنَ الرُّؤْيَا, because these type of dreams, يُشَجِّعُ الْمُسْلِمِ, it gives strength to a Muslim, وَيُحَسِّنُ ظَنَّهُ, and it allows him to have good hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُنَشِّتُهُ لِلِقَاءِ عَدُوِهِ, and it makes him diligent and makes him look forward to meeting his enemy. So on the side of the Muslims, there were these good dreams that were glad tidings. On the side of the Romans, there were negative dreams and bad dreams that they saw. Bahan himself saw a bad dream. And there was another Roman that saw a bad dream. So Allah blessed the Muslims with these glad tidings. And Allah already informed the Romans that their end result is going to be a bad end result. Inshallah, we will continue. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa mawlana Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.